It's time for our weekly look at another Culleton, Cusack, and Warmerdam inquest jury recommendation into ending intimate partner violence, or IPV, in Ontario. Now, we will refer to IPV several times over the course of this conversation. I say we, and that's because the executive director of Lanark County Interval House, Erin Lee, is with us as she is every week. Welcome back, Erin.
Nice to be with you, Bob.
Number 26, again, falls under the education and training banner. And it is, it's one of those ones that just seems very straightforward. Ensure teachers are trained to deliver the IPV-related curriculum and utilize IPV professionals regularly to provide support for the delivery of primary, secondary, and post-secondary programming. Now, I say it seems pretty straightforward, but I imagine that figuring out what to deliver as far as content goes for the different ages can be quite complex.
I think you're right, Bob. I think it's quite complex. I think that we have to recognize that, you know, teachers go through years of education to provide, you know, the basics around math and social studies and geography, and certainly inserting the issues of intimate partner violence become quite more challenging in terms of the depth, right? And in terms of the curriculum for geography is the curriculum for geography. How do we talk about intimate partner violence when we don't know the circumstances of our students' lives? We don't necessarily know their experience, their lived experience, and any triggers they might have. And we also have to deal with teachers who also have their own lived experience and their own triggers. And so I think that we really need to make sure that it's age appropriate, and that we empower teachers to feel like it's okay to have those conversations and that they have some support. We do conferences at the local schools. We make sure to nurture a relationship. We have a counselor who goes available to all of our schools to provide support to children who have been impacted or perhaps are witnessing violence at home. So it's really about nurturing relationships. I can't say that enough in terms of finding common ground, nurturing relationships, and then talking about how do you use experts in your community to support you when you want to address issues of intimate partner violence. I mean, starting as young as kindergarten, talking about, you know, what a yes feeling is and what a no feeling is, all the way through to what consent is about, and what does it mean to give consent. I think we have to cover that whole roster to empower kids to be able to have healthy and nonviolent relationships.
Couple things there. One is you mentioned the teachers, and I kind of compare this to when people started talking about mental health in schools, and then you saw an influx of people who were all of a sudden realizing that what they were experiencing wasn't necessarily normal, and they had struggles with their own mental health, whether it be anxiety, depression, or something else. That kind of effect could happen here when it comes to IPV in schools, especially with children realizing that something isn't right at home.
100%. I mean, I think that, you know, what they say, children live what they learn. So I think that, you know, when we provide information that informs a different way of thinking or unpacks something that you didn't know was packed away inside, all those emotions and all that flood, you know, you may see behavior in kids at school that really is manifesting the violence that they're experiencing at home. So then what do? Right. And I think we can't separate mental health from IPV, because I think that kids witness and then I think their mental health is impacted. And we don't, you know, as kids, even as adults, sometimes we struggle to be able to articulate what's happening for us. So to expect someone who's in grade three to be able to articulate, no, that person is going to act out that behavior that's going to be signaling to the adults around something's not right and I need some help. So, you know, it's about building assessment skills. It's about, you know, recognizing some of those signs. It's when there's a sudden change in behavior or a pattern of absences that we have to kind of pay attention to those flags and go, okay, maybe we need to connect. Maybe we need to talk to the family a little bit, and maybe we need to begin to unpack that. And it's certainly not easy in terms of everything else that teachers carry. So we want to make sure that we're supporting and balancing that role and being available.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. You mentioned, the mental health part, and earlier you mentioned consent. So part of this could fall under the the sexual education banner, you know, the health teaching that they're doing there. You would think that it would have to, right? So like, or I should say, unlike other subjects, like you said, geography is geography, history is history, math is math. You know, this is something that really, when you get into the social studies, this is something that sort of transcends all banners, like other things do, like mental health.
I agree 100%. I mean, I think you could insert IPV, when you're talking about healthy relationships. I think you can insert IPV into social studies when you're talking about investment in your future and what you want to do. You can talk about IPV in all kinds of context through the social service, this kind of social studies health spectrum, as you've indicated. And I think that, there is existing curriculum around health and wellness, but I think that when it comes to talking about consent, and my body's nobody's body but mine, I think that health is a really good place for that to land. And I think it's important to equip all teachers with what do you do if? I think that right now we know that teachers are required to take a training on the anti-trafficking anti-human trafficking policy that they've created. I think that that's a really good step, but I think that before we're worried about studying and doing a training on anti-human trafficking, we need to know the basics around intimate partner violence and violence in our families so that we can recognize some of those signs, because some of those signs are quite similar. And the other piece for me is always dealing with what happens when there's a femicide in our community and the kids go to school and those teachers are impacted by that loss in community. And then those teachers are supporting those kids who are returning to school. There's so many levels, right? When we think about providing support to teachers and through education to our students.
I have more questions, but I think they're better suited for next week's jury recommendation. So I think that's what we'll do. We'll end the conversation for right now. We'll suspend the conversation, I'll say, and we'll pick it up next week. Aaron Lee, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.